I was thinking as we were singing, and I've often wondered this and still wondered. I guess it'll continue to be a puzzle to me and a wonderment to me till the day I die. How do unsaved people go through life without Christ? Do you understand that a man who doesn't know the Lord is spiritually ignorant? He's dead in trespasses and in sins. He has no appreciation for spiritual things, for spiritual truth. You can talk sports to him and his eyes will light up. You can talk stock market to him and his eyes will light up. But you start talking about the Word of God and the things of God and his eyes glaze over. It's impenetrable. He cannot understand those things. And what a terrible thing it would be if we didn't have the Lord tonight. And he could have so easily passed us all by. And I'm so glad that he didn't, that he had mercy upon us. And where would we be, as our brother said this morning during the baptistry service, where would we be had not God stopped us, had not God arrested us? We're in the book of Romans, which incidentally is not a popular book, but it is a good book. All the books in the Bible are good. They're profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in the word of righteousness. And we've been in this now for about 2 months, and it looks like we're going to be in it for quite a while. But tonight we've come to still chapter 1 of Romans. Started out 9 weeks ago in chapter 1, and we're still there. But tonight we want to look at verses 24 through 32. 24 through 32. Romans 1, 24 through 32. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Every once in a while, somebody will come up to me and accuse me of being a legalist because I mention certain sins by name. And their counter to that is simply we ought not to be negative and we ought to be more positive in our approach. We ought to speak more about the love of God and the goodness of God and the grace of God. Did you know that the Apostle Paul catalogued sin more than any other writer in the New Testament? And he does present to us a sordid picture of our human nature tonight. He's not talking about them tonight. He's talking about us tonight. We're in this bunch right here apart from the grace of God. The doctrine of reprobation is the most frightening doctrine in the Word of God. To me it is. It's the most difficult to explain and the most distasteful to digest. Martin Luther said of the doctrine of reprobation, he called it that dreadful decree. Donald Gray Barnhouse said the last 9 verses in the first chapter of Romans are the most terrible in the Bible. I've lived in Tyler now since the early 60s. I do not know whether it is still in existence or not, but there used to be on the East Loop an animal rendering plant. Now, it emitted the most stinking odor that one could possibly ask for. I mean, when you get to that stretch of highway over there, I don't know whether it's there today or not. I got burned out on it, so I just try and stay away from it. But at the time, it seems like automobiles would speed up when they hit that stretch of highway because the odor was so absolutely terrible. You didn't see anybody parking their car by the side of the road and taking a deep breath saying, "Isn't this wonderful?" You didn't see any sightseers over at the animal rendering plant. It was an obnoxious thing. It was a terrible thing. It was a smelly thing. There are some places, my dear friends, in the Bible I do not particularly care to dwell upon. I did not say I don't appreciate the Word of God, nor do I love the Word of God, because I do. But there are some places in the Bible I just personally do not care to dwell upon, because the stench is too great. You say, "You mean there's stench in the Word of God?" I just read it for you. This text I've read tonight speaks of it. And I take no great pleasure in having to preach on such a subject as reprobation. I raised a question this morning. Does God ever give up a soul to be damned and to go to hell? The answer to that is absolutely yes. And my friends, if God ever gives up a soul to be damned, that individual can hear gospel music, he can hear gospel preaching, people can pray for him, people can hand out tracts all they want to, but if God ever gives up a soul to be damned, that man is as sure for hell as if he were already there. That's a frightening thing. Reprobation set forth. It is set forth in Scripture. It is set forth in many, many different places. For instance, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 24 through 31. It's what it's teaching here, reprobation. "Because I have called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You have set at naught all of my counsel. You would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early, but they shall not find me." Why is that so? "For that they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and shall be filled with their own devices." In this passage in Romans 1 that I read for you, you find 3 different places where it says, "Wherefore God gave them up." One says, "Wherefore God gave them over," but the meaning is the same. You find it in verse 24, "Wherefore God gave them up." You find it in verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up." And you find it in verse number 28, "God gave them up or over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Now, your friends might give up on you, but that's all right. Your doctor might give up on you, but that's all right. Your husband and your wife might give up on you, and that's all right. But my friend, you don't want God Almighty to ever give up on you. Wherefore God gave them up. Not only is reprobation set forth in the scripture, it is also set forth in standard confessions of faith. In the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith, it makes this statement: by the decree of God, for the manifestation of His glory, some men and angels are predestinated or foreordained to eternal life through Jesus Christ, to the praise of His glorious grace. Others being left to act in their sin to their just condemnation, to the praise of His glorious justice. Unquote. It is also set forth in systematic theology, in reprobation defined, coming from Burkhoff's systematic theology. He makes this statement: reprobation is that eternal decree of God whereby He has determined to pass some men by with the operations of His special grace and to punish them for their sins in the manifestation of His justice. Now, this is the God, my dear friends, that Oprah Winfrey doesn't want to have anything to do with. She said, I just don't want to have anything to do with a God like that. This is also the God of the Bible. This is the only God there ever has been, or the only God there ever will be. James Boyce, who wrote the Abstract of Systematic Theology, Dr. Boyce states there, I just this is crazy in addition to your pastor. James Boyce, in the Abstract of Systematic Theology, he said there are four parts to the decree of reprobation. Number one, the decree not to elect. Now, dear friend, never make the mistake that you have the authority and the power and the ability to get God to do something that He doesn't want to do. Many are called, according to Matthew 22, verse 14, many are called, but few are chosen. Who does the choosing? God Almighty does the choosing. Well, you say, I don't think it's fair the way He operates it. Well, I can assure you this, He's not too upset by what you think about it, my dear friend. He's God and He does absolutely what He will, what He wants to. And as a creature, we don't have any reason nor right to question what He does. He has that. And Boyce continues, there is this aspect, the decree to pass by in the bestowment of grace. That God may stop by along the way where you are, or He just may pass you by completely. That's reprobation. The third thing is the decree to condemn for sins committed. If we got what we deserved, all of us would be passed by. Because wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. If we got what we really deserved, we'd all go to hell. And then fourthly, the decree to harden against the truth all or some persons already sinning, and to confirm them in their sin. Now that's a tough one, and I want to state it again. It's a part of reprobation. The decree to harden against the truth all or some people who are already sinning and to confirm them in their sin. Not long ago, I referred to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Some of the most sobering language in the Bible. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's going to happen at the manifestation of the Antichrist. God will send them strong delusion. Why is God going to send them a strong delusion? in order that they might believe a lie, so they'll all be damned. That's reprobation. Romans 9:18, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will, he hardeneth. Now in our scripture text in Romans, we find stated three times, as I pointed out, that God gave some people up. It does not tell us all the reasons why he did so, but it does give us some reasons for his actions and also the results of such reprobation. Let's look tonight, first of all, at the reasons for reprobation. Why would God do this? Why would God pass by some? Why would God give them over to a reprobate mind? Why would God do that? In verse number 24, it begins by saying, wherefore? Whenever you see that wherefore, you ask the question, what's the wherefore, therefore? What does it mean? It means go back and see what has been said. That's the cause of what's going to take place and the repercussion from it in verse 24. Wherefore God gave them up. Why for? Why did he do that? Verse 21, it says, because when they knew God. When they knew God, please notice this was a sin of willful rebellion against God. It was not ignorance. They knew what they were doing and they walked into it with their eyes wide open. I've often said, if I had to go to hell, and I'm so thankful by the grace of God, I'll never have to go to hell. But if I had to go to hell, my dear friends, I'd rather go to hell from any country in this world rather than to go to hell from the United States of America. Why is that so? Because this country has more light of God that's been given it than any other country on the face of this earth. And to whomsoever much is given, much shall be required. They did not glorify God. They knew God. But the scripture says in verse 21, they did not glorify God. Men today glorify and praise men for their accomplishments and for their contributions. They glorify luck and they glorify fate. They even glorify themselves, but they don't glorify God. Second thing is, they did not thank God. Verse 21. They refuse to believe that every good gift comes from above. We thank doctors, do we not? We thank lawyers, we thank teachers, we thank parents, but we don't thank God. A third thing they did is they did not love God. Notice, the greatest commandment is we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our strength, and with all of our being. And most people in the world tonight don't love God. Now, they do like to have him around as a spare tire, and they do like to have him around in case they hit a certain set of circumstances they can't cope with, and they'll come out with something about, you know, let me just insert this. You need to go to, if you've never been to North Carolina, you need to go. Especially, you need to go to Roxburgh, North Carolina. All my relatives, every one of them, were vaccinated with this phrase, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. I could walk in some of their homes even today, and there's Daniel Watts. Lord, have mercy. Huh? Well, were they asking God for his mercy? Of course not. And people have a strange way of calling on God. Oh, God, but they really don't mean it. They really don't love the Lord. And the fourth thing is they did not seek God. They loved darkness rather than light. You know anybody like that tonight? You suppose anything like this is going on in the United States tonight? I wonder. In verse number 22, they elevated education above wisdom. Notice professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The fool said there is no God because he thinks he's got it all figured out. Thus they had no room for God in their lives or in their families. And then verse 23 says they became really connected with idolatry. The text says they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They changed God into a man. Have you noticed how many millions today worship people, for instance, like the Pope? It's the most amazing thing, my dear friends, and weather doesn't hinder it. It can be raining and pouring down cats and dogs, and you could have an avalanche, and you'd have 10 million people out to hear the Pope when the Pope has something to say, which he never does have anything to say. And it doesn't have to just be in the realm of religion. It can be some punk group, some rock group that's gone down and robbed all the jewelry out of the store and stuck it all over their body and pull their hair all down over their face, get out and act like a bunch of crazy people bumping and grinding and saying, "This is music!" Bunch of junk. They did not seek God. They committed idolatry. Remember when the Beatles? No, you don't. Some of you don't. Some of you still think they're animals. Well, that hadn't changed. They came to this country, and I'm telling you, it was Beatlemania. Thousands and thousands and thousands of... Did you know, my dear friends, that Elvis was seen last week in Memphis? Still around. Of course, you wouldn't want to see him now. And on it goes. I was reading John MacArthur. He said about today's idolatry, quote, "There have always been people who worship the idols of wealth, health, pleasure, prestige, sex, sports, education, entertainment, celebrities, success, and power. And at no time in history have those forms of idolatry been more pervasive and corruptive than in our day. Countless books, magazines, games, movies, videos glorify sexual promiscuity, incest, rape, homosexuality, brutality, deceit, manipulation of others to one's own advantage, and every other form of immorality and ungodliness. Many of those things are specifically occultic, involving magic, spell casting, witchcraft, sex rites, human sacrifice, even demon and Satan worship. Moral and spiritual pollution is pandemic in modern society and is a degenerative and addictive form of idolatry. Tragically, it's being packaged and marketed to read younger and younger ages." Did you know that's going on tonight? And then we wonder, well, why would God give anybody up? He ought to give a whole bunch up. Why would he not give us up? Major evidences of reprobation. Three times in our text, wherefore God gave them up. God gave them up. Let's look at them. Evidences of reprobation. Not necessarily causes of reprobation, but the evidence that reprobation has occurred when you see these things beginning to happen. There is, number one, the evidence of unclean living. Look at verses 24 and 25. "Wherefore God also gave them up." Why did he do that? Because he reprobated them. "And he gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Lust. Lust is not restricted to only sexual matters, but to anything that is addictive to the flesh. Boy, I just thought of something I wanted to say, and I'm glad I didn't say it. Boy, I'm glad I didn't say that. Thank the Lord. Flesh loves sin. Yeah. And the more it gets, the more it wants. This speaks of sinning without restraint to please the flesh. Whether illicit sex, drugs, alcohol, stealing, or total abandonment, if it feels good, do it. This is the characteristic note of the generation you and I live in today. And it's on every hand. We've done away with marriage and brought in sexual partners. We've done away with childbirth and brought about abortion. Nothing is sin anymore. We've even changed the definitions. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Nothing wrong anymore, dear friend. There's no black and white. There's just this dirty, stinking middle ground called gray. And everybody lives in it. And the thing that used to be wrong is no longer wrong. The thing that used to be sin is no longer sin. The thing that puzzles me, and it's just the old Adamic nature, my dear friends, is some of us as professed believers, we know these things are wrong. Still, we persist in them. The evidence of unclean living, broken homes, broken hearts, ruined lives are but evidences today of reprobation. We're in trouble. I'm telling you, we're in trouble. We're not just in trouble as a world, we're in trouble as a nation tonight. There's the evidence of unclean living, flesh, 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 flesh. Did you know that's why most of us eat too much? I said we. You know why we do? Because we like it. Tastes good. Flesh, 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 flesh. You know why entertainment is so pleasing to us? Because it feeds the flesh. We like that. There's not only the evidence of unclean living, which is an evidence of reprobation, but there's the evidence of unclean loving. Verses 26 through 27. And I'm reading out of the King James Bible. If your Bible doesn't say this, you need to get rid of it and get another one that does. "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet." This is a clear indictment against homosexuality and lesbianism. And just in case the tape did not get that, this is a clear evidence about homosexuality and lesbianism. It's in the Word of God. And it's right under John 3:16. Okay? We don't have any trouble with John 3:16. I just love that verse, don't you? What about these verses? Do you think for one moment, my dear friends, that God has just turned the Bible over to us since we're so intelligent and we can pick out that which we don't like and we can put in that which we do like? We'll just make our own Bible. That's what we've done today. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 30, aren't you glad that's in the Old Testament? We've been saved by grace. We're living in the New Testament. Aren't you glad? Doesn't that make a lot of sense? Won't get into that. But Leviticus 20:30 says, "If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Do you realize if we enforce that, brother, it'd cut our population down quite considerably? This is the leading cause, my dear friends. What is the leading cause? Homosexuality, lesbianism. It's the leading cause of HIV viruses and worldwide AIDS epidemic. If you want to get rid of these things, get rid of the cause of these things. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of this. This is why homosexuality is called sodomy, because that was the prevalent sin of Sodom. There was a time when this type of thing was done in secret. Even those who participated in it were ashamed of it, but no more. Today it's being done publicly and proudly, and people sign their names to it. Hey, you remember Liberace? He didn't have to sign his name to it. Just look at him. Huh? You remember Rock Hudson? Yes, sir. He's a homosexual. He's dead now. You remember Anne Haig? She makes movies even today. She's one of them. Elton John? Oh, don't you just love the way he glorified Princess Di by writing that beautiful song? He's a homosexual. Now, I can tell you don't like this. And that's a good way for us to get ready to stay here for the next 1 hour. Ellen Degenerate, or Degeneres, whatever her name is. And Rosie O'Donnell. I tell you, scores of others. Gay marriages are today being accepted and publicized, and sodomites are filling the pulpits of churches. And everybody said it's all right. No, it never has been all right, dear one, and it never will be all right. And for this cause, God gave them up. You want to do that? Help yourself. But you better be willing to pay the price attached to it when you do. Unclean loving. And thirdly, there's the evidence of unclean learning. In verse number 28, the Bible says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, didn't want to think about Him, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. A reprobate mind is a mind that is void and hardened against the judgment of God and the eternal punishment of hell. It can be translated depraved. It has no time for God and no time for the things of God. We have a generation today that live as though there is no God. Not interested in the Bible, not interested in the God of the Bible. Job chapter 21 verses 14 through 15, therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what profit should we have if we should pray unto Him? It's possible for even believers to become empty-headed if they shut God out. How do I know that? Because of Job 4:22. My people is foolish. This is what the Bible says. My people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. This generation wants to live in a sewer, and God is accommodating this generation. You can have it. You can have it. Now, the results of reprobation. What happens when people become reprobated? Verses 29 through 32. The key word in this last closing passage is being filled. Did you notice the word there? Being filled. There comes a time, my dear friends, which when an individual is just consumed by his passions and by his desires, he's so full of it. He's so full of it. And that's a result of reprobation. When one is filled with something, he has no room for anything else. It's a clear demonstration and a presentation of total depravity. Each one of these charges is a sermon within itself. Being filled with what? All unrighteousness. Being filled with fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full, notice those descriptive words, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. And notice right in the middle of that cesspool is disobedient to parents. That's a sin, my dear friends. One of the commandments says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the face of the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And it continues to go on, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, this is classic, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, but not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. See, you don't have to tell a dirty joke. Just laugh at it. Huh? You don't have to actually engage in the crime. Just be there and enjoy it. Reprobation. The only thing that stands between you and reprobation, the only thing that stands between me and reprobation, is the mercy and grace of God Almighty. Bartimaeus cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Do you realize that had our Lord Jesus passed by, Bartimaeus would never have been saved? He would have died and gone to hell. But the Lord stopped and had mercy on Bartimaeus. On another occasion, as our Lord was going down the road, there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus up in a tree, and our Lord was just simply at a slow gait, step after step, going down the road. But when he came to this particular tree, he stopped and looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down. If our Lord had not stopped, do you understand, Zacchaeus would have died and gone to hell. He had the right to pass him by. Our Lord had the right to pass by Bartimaeus, but it pleased the Lord to stop for Bartimaeus and to stop for Zacchaeus and to stop for Dan Cozart and to stop for Bill Perry and to stop for you tonight. He stopped and had mercy upon you. Thank God, if it were not for that, we would all have been reprobated. John the Baptist said, flee the wrath to come. How do you close a message like this? Don't try to outsmart God. Call upon the Lord while there is mercy to be found. Don't wait until it's too late. You say, well, can it ever be too late? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we have, in closing out the first chapter of the book of Romans, a description of reprobation, the causes and the reasons and the results of reprobation. And we realize this, that if we're saved, it's because completely the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ upon us, not by any works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. When God reprobates a man, he's as sure for hell as if he were already there. What should that cause you to do? Flee the wrath to come. Look to the Lord. You say, well, maybe I've gone too far. No, you're where you need to be tonight. You need to listen to what I'm saying, because I'm preaching you truth tonight. Call upon the name of the Lord. Mean business with God, dear friend. If you're doing something that ought not to be done, just stop it. Don't do it. Don't go down that road any further. Turn around. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. Mercy in time of grace. Let's stand, please, for prayer.